I'm telling you, at 10 o'clock, they're wired. They're ready. And I don't think it has anything to do with coffee. I believe it's their makeup to worship. And I appreciate you can be seated. I would like to tell you, I bring again greetings from Bethesda Church of God and the fine people of my church who are in South Carolina. Going through a cold front. It's a little over 100 degrees down there. And years ago, we were in the insurance business, and I had won a trip to Montreal. And my wife and I got to Montreal, and the temperature was, I guess, around high 50s, maybe 60. And they took us on a tour, and there's a little lady about that big, and she was perspiring. And she looked and she said, "Oh my, you can tell summer has arrived." And I said, "Ma'am, if you lived where I lived, you'd think you died and went to hell." And, I tell you, we have enjoyed the weather. My, the Lord just has blessed us with that. I'm not just trying to do the niceties to do the niceties, but I am just so happy that God let our paths cross with Bishop White and Sonia. I mean that. I'm just so thankful for that. I believe I've got a friend for life, friends for life, and just great people. This region has truly been blessed by their ministry. I really mean that. And then I tell you what, I didn't get a chance to talk to Brother Roy prior to, but I am sure he slept like a baby last night. If he didn't, then he must be the Energizer Bunny for sure. I got an opportunity to speak with Brother Faircloth yesterday at length and enjoyed. I just think y'all have a wonderful youth and discipleship director. You look here. You got a lot to be thankful for. You really do. And I am so grateful. And then in the words of some folks, get ready, get ready, get ready, because in just a little bit, Janice Tucker is going to be bringing the word, and I believe that's going to be a good one. Can you just imagine? She's had to sit through all this. She's let the men get out the way, and then she's going to bring it. And I hope that you're ready. Please pay attention to me. Don't look past me until once we get to that service. Give it all you have. And I just was thinking today, the people who are working sound and the graphics back there, how about give them a hand? Would you do that? Yeah. Now, I just will tell you, if you think that's easy, when people come to me and they say, I want to work in the sound and the lighting. And I said, how thick is your skin? And what do you mean? I said, if you can't take people staring at you, hollering at you and telling you all kind of things, doing all kind of things, you don't need to be back there. You'll lose what you got. And I tell you, they've done good. What made me think of them today is I hadn't thought of them. And sound and lighting is good when you don't think about them. It's kind of like an umpire. If you're thinking about the umpire, he's no good. You want people who are doing their job. And I just want to say to those, God keeps good records. You might not right now be getting the accolades of others, but God keeps good records. Amen. All right. I would like for you to turn with me to the book of Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 13. And let me just say, I am so grateful that my wife has been able to travel with me, and she gets to go with me most places that I go. And what a wonderful, wonderful blessing that God bestowed in my life when he gave me this wonderful woman. And she is a tremendous servant of God. I'm telling you, I could stand here for another 4 or 5 days just telling you of her anointing. And she's just a tremendous part of our ministry. And we thank God for you, Jackie. Won't you know that? Amen. Would you stand with me? And this message here is one that has been burning on my heart. And I just will have to tell you, God began to speak to me in regard to Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 13. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain. And listen to this last part. He bringeth forth the wind out of his treasuries. Out of his storehouse, he brings wind. You might have read that and already have caught on to that, but I have taken wind for granted. I am so glad that we have it. But God has a storehouse of wind. And today I'd like for us to look at the storehouse of wind. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you've done this week. Thank you for what you're going to do now and what you're going to do for the rest of this camp meeting and in our future also. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. God bless you. I would like to say there is something in the air. It's just, Brother Roy made a point one, I think it was his first night preaching. He said you could walk into a room where there's been conflict and you can feel it. There's something in the air. You could walk in where it's an uneasiness, or even when there's something happy, but you can feel it. And I believe that there's something in the air that God is stirring up in our last day. I don't believe that we have to go through status quo. I think that God is opening up his storehouse, and he's got wind of blessings, winds of provision. And so I would like to submit to you that when God was in the creation process, that he was breathing or blowing out. Now, that stands scientifically correct, because here today, while I am talking, there is air coming from my lungs that is going up through my vocal cords, my vocal box, and it is moving vocal cords. So there has to be a movement of air. Wind must come through my throat for me to be able to produce a sound to you. Brother Roy, you have made it very plain that our praise we need to open our mouth. Things happen when our mouth is open. Things happen when the wind is blowing. Things happen when we begin to project. And so there was a time that God stood out on nothing, and he says, let the dry land appear. And that wind of statement went out, and water began to subside, and dry land began to appear. God keeps blowing out his breath, and green trees and shrubbery begin to come up, and God speaks out again, and the birds and the bees and the animals that we could name, they are now, God is creating and making things happen by the blast of his breath. Then God does something supernatural, even beyond all of that to me. Because after he had formed man, he formed man, and all man was a bag of clay. That's all man was. But then God blew his breath into man, and man became a living soul. Dirt took on life. That's something that had no living capability. God raised it up because of his breath. I just want to tell you, God is wanting to blow on you and blow on me today. God is ready to blow out of his storehouse a wind that is going to change our lives. So God breathed. God, then he takes this earth. And I wonder, you know, the earth is spinning at 1,000 miles an hour. All right. And I just wonder, after God hung it out there, if he didn't take his mouth and go like a child would blow on a pinwheel and just get the earth going at 1,000 miles an hour. Now, if you don't think that's important, I just want to tell you, I was reading in preparation for this sermon. We're moving at 1,000 miles an hour, and one article said, if the earth was to have a hiccup for 3 seconds, just 3 seconds, 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, we wouldn't know what happened. Mountains would move. If the earth, all of a sudden, it'd be kind of like someone slamming on brakes. If someone slammed on brakes, mountains would move, rocks, water. This earth, we would be gone in 3 seconds. Isn't it amazing that not only when God blew the breath out there, he controlled it and still is in control of it today. See, God isn't just arbitrarily out there blowing. God is not just accidentally making things happen. God is an intentional God. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. God is intentional about everything he's doing in your life. In fact, he's got an intentional plan that you haven't even discovered yet, but just keep listening because there's a wind blowing. You just keep looking because you're going to see the effects of God blowing in your direction. And you might say, well, he hadn't blown in my direction in a long time. Oh my goodness. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Amen. Today we're clothed and in our right mind because God is blowing in our direction. Today we're able to enjoy his presence because God is blowing in our direction. Now, there are natural winds. I don't have to tell you of things such as hurricanes and tornadoes and solar winds, but I'd like to talk to you quickly that hurricanes, the largest one or the most powerful one on record was Hurricane Patricia. And it had sustained winds of 215 miles an hour. It was destroying buildings and toppling trees and blowing vehicles over. My wife and I, we lived in Charleston when Hurricane Hugo came through. And we lived on an island called James Island. Y'all might have heard some of the other islands like Kiowa or Seabrook Island, but we lived on James Island. There's a lot of barrier islands off of the coast of Charleston. We grew up on an island. And we had evacuated. When we came back, I still have memories etched in my mind of what that wind had done. Literally, we did not know how to get back to our own home in a place where we were born and raised. We did not know how to get back to our own home. It had changed the landscape. I saw mighty oak trees. I'm talking about huge oak trees that were pulled up like someone would weed a garden. I looked and there were boats up in trees. And I don't know about you, but that's an odd sight. When you see a boat, not a boat, boats. It looked like someone took a children's play box and just started throwing toys everywhere. Cars turned over. But the landscape had changed because there was a natural wind. There are tornadoes, and the tornadoes are unpredictable winds. Those are the things that happen. And you might have had some tornadoes pop up. See, a hurricane, they will give you a little bit of warning. Hunker down. You can evacuate. We evacuated, but tornadoes, they happen. They just pop up. Have you had one of those winds blow into your life where you weren't ready for it? You hadn't prepared for it. You hadn't bought canned goods and gone into a place where you felt safe. All of a sudden, there was a wind that blew in your life. It might have been a loved one that died. It might have been a situation. Your children did something that you just weren't ready for. You might have had something in your church where all of a sudden you went to church, or one day you went to church with the joy of the Lord in your heart, and then you had a tornado rise up where someone had something negative to happen in the church. We have to be prepared, because there are some natural but also spiritual winds that blow. There are solar winds, and the solar winds, they disrupt, listen to this, they disrupt communication, navigation. They mess up satellite communication, and they can cause power outages. And we have experienced some of that. But can I tell you, in the spirit world, if we're not careful, we don't prepare for those kind of things. We don't realize that something way away from us affects us. You might say, well, what do you mean by that? We are affected right now by decisions that happened in Washington, D.C. We didn't get to go in there and vote. We voted in the general election, but what I'm saying, on everyday activity, we don't get to put our voice in it. And so as a result, sometimes we have power outages in our world. We have a disruption of communication. Things happen that causes a real problem. Then there are satanic winds that I want to talk to you about. The winds of doctrine. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, it tells us not to be tossed to and fro. Some people, they want Baskin Robbins religion. They want 31 flavors. So if Brother Roy's flavor just isn't suiting them this week, then they'll come and they'll try to do my flavor. And if my flavor isn't good, then they're, in fact, some of them, it isn't that they don't like Brother Roy or they don't like Brother Al. It's just they don't want to have any accountability. They just want to go and be a free bird. They want to do whatever they want to do. And Paul, he was saying, you need to quit being tossed to and fro. Now, you said you were churchy. When I was growing up, I was a teenager, and some of my friends would say, hey, we're having this at my church, and we'd like for you to come. I said, man, great. When is it? And they say, Sunday. And I said, I'd look at them like, are you crazy? I go to my church on Sunday. Well, you can miss one Sunday. I said, no, I can't. I'm just telling you, I want to be with my brothers, my sisters. I want to hear my pastor. I want to be right there, right in the midst of it. I don't want to hear, woo, you missed it. Have you ever had one of those? Man, I can't stand that when they go, oh, if you were here. So what I do to solve that is I just show up. I don't want to be tossed to and fro by every wind, carried about by every wind of doctrine. And that word wind in the Greek, it depicts winds from four directions. So Paul was saying some of you are just scattered wherever the wind blows. Now, here's a news flash. You might think that everyone respects you, but if you're tossed to and fro, if you're just a Baskin Robbins 31 flavor person, people don't respect you. They might like you, but they don't respect you. They want to know that you're steadfast, rock solid, that you're right where you're supposed to be. Okay, and so the devil, he is no respecter of persons. And so when it came time, Jesus was out in the wilderness for 40 days, and the devil came blowing his breath. He ran his mouth, and he came to Jesus, and it's very evident what he is doing. He is trying to appeal to Jesus' ego. Jesus was in the flesh, so he had to make sure his ego was in check. Do you understand? He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. So they come now, and the devil says to him, command the stones to be bread. I know you're hungry, so you can solve it. Just say, stone be bread. Jesus responded back to him with the scripture and told him, man shall not live by bread alone. But see, the devil is a persistent devil. So he kept blowing his breath. Are y'all with me here today? He comes back and he says, I'm going to take you up to an exceeding high mountain, and I'm going to show you all the kingdoms of the world, and I'll give you all of this if you'll just worship me. And Jesus came back and said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you worship. And the devil, you would think that he would get the idea, but he comes back again. And he takes him to an exceeding high pinnacle of the temple. And he says, cast yourself down, because the Bible says that even the angels would watch out lest you cast or stump your toe. And Jesus came back then and he says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now I want you to understand, Jesus could have out-debated the devil with no problem. Jesus was smarter than the devil. Jesus had the intellect to match anything. But Jesus didn't try to intellectually debate him. Again, what he used was the word of God. If you want to stop the mouth of the devil, don't argue with him. Just start giving the word of God. Amen. I've got to share this with you. Years ago, I was already pastoring a church. I'd been a Christian for years, and the devil put this attack on me. He said, you never really got saved. Now, I got saved when I was a child, and my prayer was very simple. I went to the front church a bench, and I knelt down, put my face in the corner of it, and I said, Jesus, I've been bad, and I want you to forgive me. That wasn't a very theologically deep prayer, but I believe that Jesus heard me, and I got up, and my life was changed. But when I got older, here I was pastoring, and the devil came to me, and he said, you never got saved. And I kept trying to push that off, but he kept putting, you didn't even ask it the right way. You didn't pray the right prayer. And I was like, no, I know I'm saved. But I want to tell you, I went through torment. How many of you know that the battlefield of the mind is one of the worst places to fight a battle? And so what I did, the Lord put this in my heart. And so I started finding scriptures that would minister to me. So when the devil would, and I carried it in my pocket. And so when the devil would throw a lie to me, I'd pull the scripture out. And I'd go, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. It might be 5 minutes later, the devil saying, you still didn't get saved. And I'd go, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Might be 30 minutes later. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. What I've purposed in my heart is if the devil was going to lie to me 100 times, I was going to read the scripture to him 100 times. After me reading enough scripture to him, the devil left me alone just like he will leave you alone. Don't let him blow his breath on you. Amen. Now, there are lies that he tells the church. I'm going to have to hurry here. Ananias and Sapphira, somehow the devil convinced them that they could lie to the Holy Ghost. Demas, who was a follower of Christ, or Paul, the Bible says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world more than loving God. Sometimes we get into our modern day and we get lied to also. And so we hear it so much that we get to this point. I need everyone to pay close attention. I can't change it by myself. Have you ever thought that? Oh, it's just so many of us. We just have to pick our battles. No, we have to be rock solid, steadfast. The world is blowing their breath in our direction. The devil is blowing his breath out on the church. He's trying to tell us, just accept abortion. Come on. And hear me. You can look from the Old Testament right on through. When innocent blood is shed, there is always a penalty for that. America is under a curse right now, but not just America. Every country that is murdering innocent babies like that, they're under a blood curse. And we can look back and say, well, you know, I just don't want to get into that. If you are a pastor, you have to get into it. Amen. If you are a Christian, you have to get into it. Listen, we can't let the world dictate our doctrine. We can't let the world dictate the way that we live. It goes on. Transgender. I debated a situation in Sumter. They were trying to put same-sex bathrooms, and they were pushing the transgender issue, and it was just so crazy. And I went to them, and I sat down, and we had a long debate. Thank God the people of Sumter rose up and did not allow that law to go through in our area. But is it not ridiculous that you let a little child guess what it is? Now, that legislation I was telling you about, let me tell you how it was, how messed up. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. But if you were a school teacher, I want you to imagine school teacher with 20, 30 students. How that legislation was is if that little child came and said, I now identify as a girl. You had to pronounce them by the right pronoun. And you, if you didn't, you could lose your job as a teacher. Not only that, the parents did not have to be notified that little Johnny now thinks he's Jill. Next day, little Jill can come and say, I'm Johnny. And so the teacher has to remember all of that so she doesn't lose her job. I don't have time to go into all of the law, but I just want to tell you, it was so messed up. And yet still we have Christians who are saying, all I want is for Judah to get up and sing and make me feel good. And I want Brother Roy to preach his heart out, and I want to feel good and I want to shout, but I don't want to get out there and make a difference. Listen, if the devil is blowing his breath, we must allow ourselves to be used by God to counter it. I don't have time to go into all of these, but drug and alcohol abuse, the cohabitation. In the South, we call that shacking up. I don't know what they call it up here. Amen. Now, I had a man in my church, and his wife had an affair on him. He went cuckoo. Then, in a short period of time, he started dating a married woman. And the woman, both he and the woman attended my church. She was out front greeting. I went to her and I said, I wouldn't hurt you for anything in the world, but I cannot have you greeting in the lifestyle that you're living. She went and got her children and left. And I see the man as he's getting ready to go. And I caught him. I said, look, I want you to hear what I said. I don't want you to hear it secondhand. And I said, you know, I explained to him, and he said, that is your opinion. And I said, she's a married woman. Her husband has called me and said he wants you to leave his wife alone. You are having relations with a married woman, and that is adultery. He said, that is your opinion. And I said, that isn't my opinion. He said, she doesn't live under his roof anymore. She lives under my roof, so God help us. Adultery and fornication, and I had a woman that came to me. She had been in the a lesbian lifestyle, and she was expecting a natural argument, but I use the Word of God. I just want to tell you, we're not going to win because we're smarter than the other side. We're going to win because we use the proven, the tested Word of God that does not change, does not vary. Now, God help me today to get through this. There's something in the air. I believe that God has gone in the spiritual and opened up his treasuries, opened up his storehouse, and I believe there was a time that Israel needed a miracle wind, and God blew in locusts to curse the Egyptians. There is something in the air. There was in Exodus chapter 14, they got to the Red Sea. God blew. And the Red Sea parted and they went through on dry ground. There was a deliverance wind. Hallelujah. I believe there's still something in the air. There is a life wind. In Genesis chapter 8 and verse 1, God remembered Noah and his family and the animals, and he made a wind to pass over the deep, and the water subsided. And they were able to come out of the ark, and he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So there was a life-giving wind. There's something in the air. There's a get your attention wind. Have you ever had one of those? Jonah had a get your attention wind. And there is something definitely in the air. But it goes beyond that. There's victory wind. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 23 through 24, David inquired of the Lord, shall I go out and fight the Philistines? And God said, when you hear the sound of a going in the mulberry trees, when you hear the wind rustling the leaves, that's when you go. When you hear that, I believe right now someone after this fantastic camp meeting that we've had, I hope that you're spiritually tuned in for the wind that is blowing in your part of the world. I believe God has opened up his treasure box and said, I'm going to blow a wind in your direction in North Carolina. I believe he's going to blow a wind all through New England. I hope that he blows a wind through South Carolina. And I'm just telling you, I believe it's about to happen. There's something in the air. But now I want to tell you a little story. Fairy tale. But I want to equate it. The Bible says the devil is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. It also says he's as a wolf that comes in sheep's clothing. So I was reading this story a long time ago. It was a story about three little pigs. We're getting real spiritual here now. There were three pigs, and they decided to go out and make things on their own. And the first little pig, he made a house, but he made the house of straw. He just wanted to hurry, and any old way would do. Isn't that how some church people are? I'll show up any old time. I'll play any old song. We'll just get through this thing. But boy, if God doesn't show up, look at God. We got here, we did our thing, and nothing happened. That's the whole problem. You did your thing. You just were doing whatever would get you through. Well, that's what happened here with the three little pigs. This one came, and it was with straw, and the wolf said, I'm going to huff, and I'm going to puff, and I'm going to blow your house down. And he huffed, and he puffed, and he blew, and the straw went everywhere, and the pig just barely escaped, but it ran to the house of the second pig. You know this story gets to the second pig, but that pig wasn't a whole lot better. It had built his house upon sticks. Now, may I just tell you, sticks represent dead. Those sticks were dead. He had built his house on dead things. Some people, listen, we traveled in gospel music for 11 years. People would pay us good money to come and sing, and they would sit there like, bless me if you can. I remember I was singing at one place, and we had this big, big ending. And I'm telling you, y'all know what I'm talking about. You're expecting a result, and they just sat there. They stared at us so much, I literally checked and see if my zipper was down. I thought, something, what in the world is going on here? I told my wife, if I had to get up to go to that every Sunday, it would be a tough thing to do. I'm glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I don't want to be around dead things. I want to be around that brings life. But here we are. Huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down. He huffed and he puffed. He blew the house down. And both of those little pigs barely escaped and got to the third house. Now, I want you to hear this. They might have been dumb pigs, but they were smart in this. They knew who to run to. They ran to the one who had built his house with the brick. The world might be laughing at us. We don't understand why you live like you live, pray like you pray, go to church, and how you're not having fun like we're having fun. But I want to tell you, when trouble comes, they're not going to look for the one with straw. They're not going to look to the one with sticks, but they're going to look to the one who is on a foundation. Hallelujah. I wish I had about 30 minutes right there on that one. You build your house on the brick, on the stone, on the rock of ages, and the world at some point is going to recognize it. Now, the devil came, and the wolf said, I'm going to huff and I'm going to puff. And he huffed and he puffed. Nothing happened. But listen, I want you to hear this. So the devil is persistent. And so here's what happened. He said, I can't blow the house down, but I'm going to try to find an opening. And he looked up and there was a chimney. And he said, I'm going to come down the chimney. But something happened. Now, I know this is a fairy tale, but I want you to hear, this. These dumb little pigs had enough sense to build a fire. They built a fire in that fireplace. My Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost telling a fairy tale. Oh, they got that fire going. And as the fire was going, the Bible tells us, the story tells us that this wolf came down. It came down the chimney. When it came down the chimney, it came into a pot. One of the pigs put a lid on the pot, and that was the end of the wolf. Now, that's a good story. But I want to tell you, in the spiritual, the Bible tells us in Acts, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one mind, in one accord. What they were actually doing is they were building a fire. They were waiting on something to happen. Over 500 people were told to go and tarry. 380 of them lost their way. 380 of them couldn't persist. 380 of them missed out. But 120 said, oh no, we're going to have the fire. I want to be a part of the 120. I want to be a part of the ones who say, I'm going to have the fire of God in my life. I'm going to have the Holy Ghost power. Listen, the devil doesn't care if your house is on straw. He doesn't care if your house is on sticks. He doesn't really care if you've got a brick house. But what he does care is if you've got some old-fashioned Holy Ghost fire stored up in you. And when the devil comes against you, you might, oh, Lord God, help me right here. Please listen to me. Years ago, I was a teenager working around a bunch of heathens. And a gypsy came in, And she wanted the bathroom key. She went to the bathroom key. She was dressed crazy. And they were mocking her, making fun of her. She come back around and she looked at all of us and she said, I'm a gypsy and I am going to curse all of you. Man, you could have heard a pin drop in that room. I spoke up and I said, you might curse them, but you're not going to curse me. Because I am washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. When I said that, that woman turned and she took off out of there. I don't know where she went. I want to tell you, the devil is not going to match up with our fire. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all with one mind, one accord. Would you stand with me, please? And listen, as they were in one mind, one accord, they were given power, power, power to be witnesses, power to do ministry, power to cast out devils, power to heal the sin, heal the sick. And I'm asking you right now, are you ready for the Holy Ghost? Now, I asked you to stand. Now I'm going to ask you to sit back down. We got 1 minute. No. Listen to this very quickly. On the day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit came in, filled all the house where they were sitting. I always thought that if you were going to receive the Holy Ghost, you had to be on your knees and have someone over here saying, let go, let go, let go. And someone over here, hold on, hold on, hold on. And beating you and saying, come on, come on, that's it, come on, that's it. And that's one way people can receive the Holy Ghost. But I want to tell you, I believe God's ready to pour the Holy Ghost out on people right now where you sit. You might say, I already have the Holy Ghost. I'm going to ask you for a refilling. God, give us a refilling. Give us a new fire. I've got the fireplace. I've got the brick house. But I want, oh God, when I get back to my church, listen folks, when I get back to Bethesda, I know I'm already more on fire than when I got here. This camp meeting has done something for me. This camp meeting has helped me. When you get back to your place, I want the fire to be burning so high that when the wolf comes down the chimney, you're going to win. You're not going to be coming close. You're going to win. Father God, right now, if there's anyone who does not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, right now, dear Heavenly Father, would they say, build a fire of the Holy Ghost in me, dear God. Heavenly Father, right now, if there is anybody that has maybe gotten a little cold, they haven't kept the fire burning like they need to, Lord, right now, would you help them to say, start a brand new fire in me. Let me be so powerful, oh God, that when the wolf comes, I will have the answer because there is something blowing in the air. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Come on and give the Lord praise in this house. Amen. What a message. What a message. Pastor, you've really stirred our hearts in the last three mornings. Thank you so very much for taking the time to come to us here in Northern New England again and share the word. Have you been blessed by Brother Al Sims? What a blessing. And I'm going to tell you, he's struck on something here. You know, we really need to get back to preaching on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We need to do some teaching on the baptism in the Holy Ghost. I had a wise woman tell me years ago. Her name was Ethel, and it just happened to be White, my mother. But I remember I was young in pastoral ministry, and I had been an evangelist for a number of years, and I was used to going places and having people saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, and I loved sending in those reports. But all of a sudden, I'm pastoring, and I'm looking at mostly the same people every week. And every once in a while, I'd have one saved, you know, and it was just different. And I remember calling her one day and said, Mom, I don't get it. I said, I'm used to preaching revivals and, you know, having people baptized in the Holy Ghost and evidence of speaking in tongues. And she says, well, are you preaching on the baptism of the Holy Ghost? I said, well, I'm preaching a whole lot of stuff. I said, occasionally I preach on the Holy Ghost. And she said, Mike, she said, if I was you, I would preach for the results I wanted to get. She said, if you want to get people saved, if you got a bunch of people that are in sin, preach salvation. They'll get saved. Said, if they claim to be saved, but they got habits and carnal, said, preach on sanctification. They'll get sanctified. She said, if you got people without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, stop and preach on the baptism. They'll receive the baptism. And I started practicing that over the years. And what I found out is God, if you will preach for the results you want to get, God will honor it. You know, we live in a strange day where that by latest reports tell us that possibly no more than 4 converts that we win to the Lord, 4 out of 100 that we win to the Lord are now receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's a terrible statistic. You've got people sitting on your pews that the Holy Ghost, you've not witnessed the Holy Ghost move on them in years. Guess what? When the Bible says you shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, that's not referring to a one-time filling. But it is telling us that we can be filled again and again and again with the Holy Ghost. There might be an initial filling where you actually put it on a report somewhere, but that doesn't mean that's where it stops. Receiving the baptism is not the ceiling, it's just the flooring, it's the beginning. You've got people that need to be filled again and again and again. Preach the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Preach being filled over and again with the Holy Ghost. Preach the gifts of the Spirit. And guess what? When you preach for that, that's the results you'll get. When you get converts in your church, thank God. Rejoice in their salvation. Shout for their salvation. Celebrate their salvation. But my Lord, let them know now there's more. Talk to them about being hungry and thirsty for everything God has and not living below the standard, the privilege that the Lord wants them to have. My goodness, you've got me preachy over here. Preach it. Teach it. Pray for it. My Lord, don't go through, help me, Jesus, I'm not supposed to do this. Don't have church and preach a message and then say, now may the Lord bless you and keep you, may his face shine upon you, and send them home. Get them in the altar. Get them in the altar. Slick them up with olive oil. Lay hands on them. Get them so slick they just slide out of the church. But lay hands on them. Pray for them. I believe that God honors that kind of prayer. All right, I'm going to hush now. Janice is going to preach. We're going to give you a 15-minute break right now for you to go get